College Football Nerds here talking Ole Miss and Auburn. Turns out it's a pretty big game in the national and SEC West landscape. We may not have thought that was going to be the case in August, but look where we are now, Josh. Want to remind y'all, as I do every week, please let us know in the comments what you think the score is going to be. And while you're down there, subscribe, notification bell, make sure those are clicked. Just go ahead and work that out. If it's not, that's probably an error and you need to click it and make sure. Okay, Josh, this one is interesting because we don't generally talk about point spreads in the beginning, but Ole Miss up here ranked number 10, 6-1, is a road dog to Auburn. 1.5 points, depending on where you're getting your point spreads. Can you talk about why that might be the case? Because we've got a couple of theories on this.
I think the most logical answer to this is injuries. So Ole Miss on the offensive side of the ball is borderline decimated, or has been. They've had injuries at offensive line. They've had injuries at tight end. They were starting a converted defensive back at receiver. Jonathan Mingo broke his foot. He's been out since before the Alabama game. Braylon Sanders got hurt in the Tennessee game. And at this point, if you look at the LSU-Ole Miss block score, you'll discover Dontario Drummond, 8 receptions for 93 yards. Nobody else had more than 2. They don't have receiving threats anymore on that roster, whereas they started with 3 receivers. So Ole Miss is just not the offensive juggernaut it was when they were lighting people up in weeks 1 and week 2. They're just not. And they've been able to make do because Corral has been so good for them as a runner and a passer. But you know, make no mistake, even our model is going to have this problem because it doesn't take injuries into account. Ole Miss is not the same quality team on the offensive side of the ball as they were early in the year. And I do think that has a lot to do with why the point spread is where it is.
I think there's another thing that is worth looking at and worth noting. And we've talked about this as a theme for teams this year. Alabama struggled with this, looking really sleepy and sluggish because they've had a lot of games in a row with no bye. We thought that Florida was the same kind of thing against LSU. This is the stretch, Josh, that Ole Miss has had leading into this Auburn game without a break. At Alabama versus Arkansas, at Tennessee versus LSU. That's a brutal stretch. And I know people are like kind of down on Arkansas, and maybe Auburn fans are even more because they beat them pretty good. But that's a brutal stretch of teams that have Power 5 level talent, recruit really well, especially in the case of LSU and Alabama, bookending a 4-game stretch that could really impact how much they got left in the tank, and now they have to go on the road at Auburn. Do you think that is considered in Vegas when they're putting point spreads together, or is that something that maybe fans look at too much and it's really not a big factor?
I mean, Vegas takes everything into account, and I do think that is what's being factored in here to a certain extent as well, right? Because Ole Miss is beat up and is exhausted, whereas you have Auburn, who's actually coming off a bye week. And they should be more rested, even though they beat Arkansas 38-23 the week prior. So in terms of intangibles, and when I say that, I mean, let's like not straight. You look at advanced stats or power rankings, and those are generally season-wide averages. If you look at situations here, the fact that this game is going to be at Auburn, the fact that this game is Auburn off a bye, the fact that Ole Miss has a lot of injuries, I totally buy that those things could combine for 10 or more points in this game. And I do think that's a lot of why this is where it is. And that's not to harp on Auburn. I've been really high on Ole Miss all year. And I've said we've had Ole Miss ranked as a top 10 team. I think Ole Miss, healthy, was a phenomenal football team. But there's a reason why Auburn, you know, Auburn team that couldn't beat Penn State is favored to beat Ole Miss right now.
And we have come around, Auburn fans that haven't been watching our live show, just plug that for a second. Like, we do a live show every Saturday night, and it gives us an opportunity to kind of air out some thoughts that we've had in terms of how the season's gone or in specific teams. And we've kind of turned a little bit in a good way on Auburn in thinking like that's a good win for Penn State. And maybe we overreacted to the Georgia State game, and Auburn legitimately has looked like they're gelling a little bit. So I think this line also reflects that. I think, Josh, if there's something we're going to get into in terms of matchups, and maybe the model sees this as well, but if you can be even slightly competent throwing the ball, as one of your elements, but mainly if you can compare that with a power run game, that's a place where Ole Miss is actually susceptible and is actually going to struggle a little bit. Arkansas could do it. Alabama could do it. Is that, and maybe this is a segue into the model, is that something that's going to come into play here? And maybe that's why Auburn is favored in this game as well.
And I think this is a good time to bring in the model, honestly, because it does help naturally segue me into statistics, right? So we run this computer model. It's entirely based off opponent quality. It's unique to each team. It's unique to looking at how you've played against other teams, how they did against other people, all totally sort of this relational matrix, if you will, with a unique scoring model that's sort of self-taught for each individual team. And it has this game, Ole Miss 33, Auburn 24, 9-point a margin for Ole Miss, and that's about what you would expect just based if you look totally at AP rankings, right? But there's some notable things here. One, we already covered. All these stats are based on season averages. Our model does not take injuries into account. There's good reason for that. One, guys might come back. Ely came back, and Snoop Connor were healthy, and then or at least like healthier at running back than they had been, and all of a sudden they looked a lot better running the ball against LSU. Two, I can't put a number on how valuable a receiver is. Because you'd have to figure out, okay, if he's out, how good's the guy replacing him? Okay, now I look at recruiting rankings. Now I've got this subjective thing that I'm sticking in the model. So we just intentionally choose not to do that. So we have a neutral baseline. But statistically, Ole Miss, 95% of opponent rushing averages, 96% of opponent passing averages. Now, it's a lot harder to get passing numbers down lower than it is run. And Auburn, 81% run, 97% pass, something reflective of it. I don't think Auburn is a bad pass defense, but 97% pass is a below average number for an SEC team. It's just hard to stop teams from throwing the ball, frankly. But that 95% number for Ole Miss, it's not great to ever see an SEC team that would, I would say that's a below average number, really on a national level. For an SEC team. Ole Miss has been there in recent years. It's not shocking. Now, these numbers are both below 100%. Past couple years, they've been at like 120. They've been bad, like bad defensively, and they've stabilized, but they're still susceptible to the run. And if you can control a game with a run consistently, and Auburn at 5 yards per carry, right at 5.04 versus Ole Miss's 5.07, just as good running the ball as Ole Miss is. I mean, for all the talk of Ole Miss's offense, Auburn is just as good if you just let them run the ball. You can get in a situation where you can control Ole Miss a little bit. And given that Ole Miss kind of has that same drop coverage style, or they were adopting it like Arkansas does, they have lighter boxes. And if you can run really well, you can move the ball down the field consistently. You get Ole Miss on their heels. And then you start making them to do things that they're not comfortable doing. Else, they're just going to let you drive the field every time. So like you said, it's the ability to pair some semblance of the ability to pass so that you can exploit when they load the box with the ability to make them load the box. And there's plenty of reason to think that not only is Ole Miss a team that you can run on, but that Auburn is also a team that's capable, just like we saw against Arkansas, because that was the name of that game, of moving the field mostly by running it and pairing it with an occasional passing play. And this is one thing I want to note off this, right? So that's the whole model explainer here. My most impressive thing with Auburn, and the thing that surprises me the most, I still don't think the receiving core is fantastic, but they found some guys. Mainly, it's that Bo Harsin seems to have found a way to use Bo Nix. He's accepted him playing street ball, but he's kind of made him do it within his system. And I've been really impressed at the production they've gotten out of Nix this year. I don't know that he looks like that different of a guy from prior years. They just seem to be doing a better job of using who he is and what he is as a function of the offense.
I do wonder, like we have put this sort of question mark around other teams like Ohio State in their, you know, offensive prowess that they've shown lately. It's tough to reinvent yourself in the middle of the season. And usually when it looks like you've reinvented yourself, a lot of times it's because of the competition you faced. Well, in this case, I don't think that matters because I don't think that Ole Miss has a good defense. It's definitely not the defense that Auburn saw at Penn State. Like, that's the one thing we did our Ohio State Penn State preview when we talked about, like, the one thing that Penn State does really well is play defense. Like, we've got enough data at this point to know that they play good defense. I'm curious though, Josh, if Lane Kiffin, even with the injuries around at wide receiver and I think offensive line. If he can recreate an offense in the aggregate, like in scheme and in the players that are healthy, and turn this into a track meet, does it really swing in favor of Ole Miss, or is Ole Miss's combination of bad Ole Miss defense and what we've seen from Auburn's offense good enough that they're comfortable in that kind of street fight too?
It's a similar conversation that we had with Georgia and Florida, right? That the problem with Georgia this year is, as elite as their defense is, their offense and offensive style seems to have a cap to it. They don't throw the ball with enough explosiveness to be able to make up for the fact that they, you know, maybe they have a good run game, maybe they have a great defense, but if the other team can score 30-plus points, I think Georgia's going to constantly be in a little bit of trouble. And Auburn, I think, is in the same place. I mean, Arkansas gave up 38 points to Auburn. They gave up, 292 yards passing. But a lot of that was big chunk plays and broken plays. It was it really required Bo Nix to be a hero. And I don't think you're going to consistently get high-level production out of that. Like, maybe he runs around and scrambles and makes a throw. But you're depending on a guy getting open. You're depending on a guy making catches. And those are going to be coin flips every time. So if Ole Miss can get this game, and they certainly want to get this game into 30-plus, it's in their favor. And I think if this game crosses 35 points, I think Auburn's going to lose. I don't think they're going to win a game where the other team is scoring more than 35. I just don't think they're equipped to be aggressive and play like that. But if they can keep it lower scoring where their run game can be a factor. And the problem, when we talk about run, or we talk about this like Georgia with tight ends, if you're relying on the run, you're probably not going to have a lot of 30-yard plays, which means you're going to need 10, 12, 14-play scoring drives. There are so many opportunities for you to have a holding call, for you to get a tackle for loss. It's just really rare in football because every time you move the chains, yeah, you get a fresh set of downs, but you also get a fresh chance to screw up, basically. And so you may have just gotten 50 yards easily, but now you get a holding call and it's second and 20, and you can't convert second and 20 running it. And so I think that's a little bit of Auburn's problem. You can do that most of the time, but you're going to have some hiccups. And once you get to the point where you got to score on like 50% of your possessions, you can't run the ball and be that consistent throughout the whole game where you score on that many drives, touchdowns. I just don't think you can do it. So Auburn needs this game to score or remain under 35 points, I think, for them to be realistically able to win.
And I think I'm ready to give my point prediction for both of these teams. We've talked through it a little bit. There's a lot of other nuances we could get into, but I think some of it is really just a question mark. Like, how much does the injuries and the grind play into this? How much does the bye week really play into this? I actually think both of those are pretty important things. I've got Ole Miss right now way up in my top 10, and so do you. But a lot of that is reflective of two things. One, production and performance to date, and who they've been to date, not necessarily who they are today. And who they are today is what we've said. They're banged up, and they've been through a grind. I think if Ole Miss played Auburn 3 weeks ago, they beat them by two touchdowns. I think because this game's on the road, which is another added part of this that's tough for a team that really needs another bye week at this point, I've got Ole Miss 30, Auburn 33. Give me your score.
I actually was going to say 34-30. Ole Miss, 34-30. And we're in the same point that I think both of us see this game getting to about 30 points because of Auburn's ability to run the ball. Ole Miss's just general goodness. They've got, getting guys like Ely a little healthier. He'd been banged up for a bit. Connor, those backs into the rotation makes up for a little bit for the receivers. But I don't know that they're in position to score 40 like they were several weeks ago against a good team. I know Alabama shut them down, but it took a lot and a lot of failed fourth down conversions. Against an offense, it's worth noting, they knew Alabama was going to score 40, so they knew they had to score 45 or more, and they took a lot of extra risks because they knew they couldn't afford to kick a field goal at any point. They don't have that pressure here. I think this is easily a one-score game either way. I know a one-point spread, I think, is not in any way meaningful for who is likely to win a game. It's almost laughable to call somebody an underdog or not, right? I think the odds are like 53% or something silly like that, a likelihood of winning if you're a one-point favorite. It's completely a coin flip. And I think that's the way this game is. One busted play, one interception easily can lose this game or win the game. You know, Bo Nix is going to run around, scramble, throw a pass off his back foot. And whether or not the guy makes a spectacular catch is going to determine the game. And especially with very limited visibility, frankly, in Ole Miss's injury situation, because Kiffin does not disclose like where Sanders and Mingo and a lot of those guys are at. It's just hard to predict it. This game could go either way, and I do agree with you. I easily could see Ole Miss dropping this game, even though they were a team several weeks ago that was easily one of the top 5 to 10 teams in college football. They just don't have depth like Auburn does, and that's a part of the game, right? Isn't that the sort of crux of it, that it's not an excuse for Ole Miss? That's something you have to build, and they don't have it, and Auburn does, because everybody has injuries. Now, they may have had a little more, but the fact that you're playing a converted defensive back or receiver is also indicative of the fact that you just don't have depth, right?
Yeah, it's part of the game. It's funny because it's kind of like how people say, oh, he's not a great coach, he's just a really good recruiter, he's got all the good players. Like, that's part of being a coach. I think that, and we talk about this all the time, a one-score game, when we're predicting a one-score game, variability comes into play, whether or not somebody gets a weird kick return for a touchdown or some Jordan-Hare Stadium voodoo magic comes into play. Like, we don't know, right? I think that for me, going with the home team is really, like, neutral field maybe a little different. Rested teams, both teams rested maybe a little different. I just don't know how you look at it any other way than it's going to be a close one-score game. Give me a final 30-second parting shot on why we and you especially spent all of this time loading up why Ole Miss could potentially lose, but then you still finally, in the end, still went with Ole Miss.
Well, the thing is what I started with, right? A lot of Auburn fans that have listened to this point are probably going to be mad and saying you guys are defending Ole Miss and hating on Auburn, and that's not the intent. It's trying to explain the fact that our model has Ole Miss is 9 points better than Auburn. And I just have this feeling that they might be a little healthier than they've been the past couple weeks. The LSU getting Ely back looked like a pretty healthy back. I think they're going to be a little bit more of a return to form than is anticipated, but it's just a blind guess on that point. But the ultimate thing here is really just trying to explain the model, trying to explain why our top 10 rankings are where they are, but us not picking in line with either of those things, even though I have Ole Miss to win, not as much as the model has it. It's just really a matter of how close is Ole Miss to their potential and how much are they a banged up team that is showing their lack of depth at the end of a brutal stretch. I feel like, frankly, having guys out might actually help them because they're going to get guys back rather than have lost guys last week. But it just remains to be seen.
All right, y'all. Give us that score in the comments. Also, like and subscribe and keep an eye out in the description. There'll be a link to our podcast if you want to listen to us and not watch us. We publish that every week, and it's actually easier to consume the two-hour live show in podcast form. So check that out. Let us know if you like it or not. Y'all have a great week, and God bless.